Podcasting 2.0 for October 9th, 2020, episode number 6, Name Your Space. I like yelling on a Friday. Makes me feel good. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dragon Slayer, Dave Jones, on the microphone.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave.
What's up? I made a mistake of... I scarfed down some lunch. I ate a sandwich real quick.
Oh, no.
Then I made the mistake of... I ate a Butterfinger right after that.
Oh.
and then I realized I had some more sandwich, and so I ate that. And I was like, you know, I don't want the taste of roast beef sandwich in my mouth for the whole show. So I had to eat another Butterfinger to compensate. So I'm having food waffling issues.
Real issues, man. We should talk to somebody about that.
Yeah, I know.
It's all right. My favorite is vanilla yogurt and cheese.
Oh.
I know.
And cheese?
Yeah. So I'll take a bite of cheese and then I'll have some vanilla yogurt with that.
That's a strange one.
Yeah, preferably
Gouda. That's like the green Jello and carrots.
Yeah, oh, yes. There you go. There's a nice callback. Ah, episode number 6, which means we've really only been at this for less than 2 months, right? And we probably had a week of calls and we started. And I think we recorded the first episode a week before we released it, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, it feels longer than that.
Yeah, it does. Well, so we got some exciting news for today because just before we started, you dropped a namespace.
I did a drop.
You did. Tell me, man, your namespace dropped on the hub.
Yeah, I did. What do we want to do? Do we want to talk about some donations or do we want
No, don't bury the lead. Let's get to the namespace first and then donations. Definitely.
I thought you're supposed to tease and all this stuff. I mean, No.
This is the lead. We got lots of stuff to talk about.
All right. So I spent a couple of days writing up something. First of all, the namespace is not meant to be. I mean, this is not a complete thing. This is just something to get everybody started.
Maybe you should back up for a second and I'll just give you my understanding of what a namespace is for people who are listening going, oh, no, don't. It's too technical.
All right, go for it.
A namespace is a way to take the existing podcast infrastructure, which is based on RSS mainly, and add functionality to it. Is that fair?
Yes, it's a way to extend an XML document without having to write a new document definition.
Right.
So, which Google did for their podcast, directory thing, or whatever they call it. Google did that. They wrote a DTD and all this jazz, but you can sort of get around that by just creating a namespace, and it allows you to extend the XML with new element types easily.
Now, when Google does their own DTD, is that their version of capturing the space? Hoping for adoption.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I think they do it more from the standpoint of just that they're just kind of super geeky.
Oh, okay.
And they just kind of go to the very bottom of everything.
Right.
It's like, well, this is how you do it. So this is what we're going
to
do.
Watch us. We got a lot of people to throw at it. Okay. I got
pretty
it.
Much.
Yeah, I understand.
That's my impression. But, there's many namespaces for RSS that have cropped up over the years. Some of them specific to podcasting, some of them not. There's a list of them. So what I posted in the podcastindex.social was a link to the GitHub repository that contains the write-up for this. And let me just jump over there real quick, GitHub.
Yeah, because this is where you get to put your writing skills to good use. You get to write some of that Dave Jones poetry.
Yeah, you're setting me up.
I'm not setting you up. I'm digging it. I only read the first line, and then we started the show, so...
Yeah, we had a debate about whether you could spell holistic with an H or a WH. Neither one of us knew, actually. We had to Google it. Let's see.
Can I read this? Can I read this while you're looking that up? Can I just read this paragraph?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Podcast Index Namespace. a holistic RSS namespace for podcasting that is meant to synthesize the fragmented world of podcast namespaces. The broad goal is to create one namespace to rule them all, that is easily extensible, community-controlled/authored, and addresses the needs of the indie podcast industry now and in the future. The largest podcast platforms have shown virtually no interest in extending their namespaces for new functionality in many years. This should be our mission. Our hope is that. Can you? Is that, now you're allowed to change that? Or
Okay.
I'll read it properly then. Our mission is that this namespace will become the framework for that indie podcast framework. A framework that the indie podcast community needs to deliver new functionality to apps and aggregators. Do we like the indie podcast moniker?
I don't know. I mean, I tried to set it apart from.
How about unaffiliated?
Unaffiliated?
Or is that too political?
I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe independent. It's just indie. Just, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I got to wear black jeans, have long black hair. I feel so emo. Emo. That's what I.
Do you want to put that in there? Okay. Emo, cross it up with emo. No.
The independent. I think independent.
Independent or unaffiliated?
I think independent. Independent's better. Independent. Because they're independent of any overlords. They're part of the community.
So the idea here is that this, whatever this is, indie, independent, unaffiliated, is that this namespace is targeting basically the whole world of podcasting outside of really about three.
Right.
Google, Apple, and let's just say Spotify.
Well, then why don't we just say what it is? The non-corporate controlled asshole industry.
That's a lot of words.
Too many words?
You're bug fixing. Now you're bug fixing. Okay.
Anyway, I love it. I totally understand what it says.
Yeah, it's, the idea is that those guys don't even need... they don't really need a namespace anyway. They can kind of do all
They can
a
just
lot
do whatever they want in the background and however they want to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Google has a copy of the entire internet. And so, I mean, like, what do they really need? So, I mean, this is really meant to give people like Todd Cochran at Blueberry, like us, you know, like Fireside and these guys that are trying to pull in. As well as other podcast app developers who run a large back end, we're trying to solve some problems and give new functionality to apps, and the big guys just don't seem interested in furthering this at all.
Right, because it's of zero benefit to them. So, right,
they'll just do something awful on their own, and they don't really care anymore. So. This is meant to get the ball rolling and to be a central place where people can do pull requests, can discuss. I'm sure a lot of that will happen on podcastindex.social. But then basically this is just the repository. Go ahead and fork it and, you know, start playing around with your ideas. There's a couple of things I feel pretty strongly about. And I can go over.
Please. And so just so I understand the process. So you can fork it into your own GitHub. You can make changes. Then you do a pull request, which then means, hey, I want this incorporated. And then how does that get decided what's pulled in?
There's a couple of things that can happen. It can have conflicts with the existing. Now, this is less likely on just documentation, but a typical pull request can create a conflict with existing code and other pull requests, and you have to basically decide who wins or decide how to go about merging that in if it clobbers something else that's important. But the other option is that everything that the checks work out and it says, okay, this is fine. And then you just have to decide whether you want to incorporate it or not. So there's a repository moderator or owner who makes a decision. And yeah.
That's and so, so this could potentially have thousands of, what are the individual items called? Elements?
Elements.
Yes. Yeah. So this could have thousands of elements ultimately. Is that not?
Could. We that don't would be a bad that. Idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be a bad idea.
Okay.
So just to go over the goals, you want me to do that?
Yeah, please.
You want to read them off?
I'll read them off. Yeah, I'll read them off. There's a good proofread at the same time. Are you taking notes on those important changes?
No, I got a pencil right here.
Goal one, eliminate redundancy. Do you mind if I read it in the broadcast voice? Because it really makes me feel good.
That would make my day. Okay. That would be wonderful.
There, I'll kind of do Attenborough if I can.
Oh, are there creatures?
Yes, around? There is significant overlap amongst the many existing podcast namespaces.
That's a pretty good Edinburgh.
Each platform and publisher has created their own namespace to give their respective system and audience the metadata they need in the way they want it delivered.
Yeah, so a good example of this would be Fireside.
What is Fireside? Fireside is the podcast host.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so what have they put in?
That's Dan Benjamin, right? I think so.
Yes. So what has been put in there that is?
Well, they have a namespace. It's small.
All right.
And within this repository, you can look at the existing namespaces .txt file, and it shows a list of them. And that was compiled by Christopher Isine in the podcast.
Oh, right. Yeah, he did it for like the top 10 or top 20.
This list is extensive. He sent me a bigger list.
Mm-hmm.
This got a lot of them in there. So, for instance, Fireside's namespace just has a few extensions to it. Let me pull that up. Oh,
and that's so that they can run stats for their users and other things like...
let me pull it up.
Transcripts.
Okay, so here... Yeah, well, these are host... Their extensions are host name, gen date, player URL, player embed code.
Mm.
So I'm thinking that is most likely just a way for them to track some of their, the host name is a way for them to figure out maybe if they have a server farm, which host generated the RSS feed,
maybe for bug tracking.
Okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing. And then the player URL, that's probably a web-based like player HTML5 player app. And then player embed code is probably just a way for, you know, as an iframe tag.
So we would likely just take these and put them right into the namespace.
Yeah. And so that's one of the next, let me get back over there. That's one of the next goals listed. That's goal number five. So we'll get there.
All right. Goal number two, avoid attributes. Attributes and XML elements should be used only where absolutely needed. The preference is to create a new element type rather than reuse the same element with different attributes. For example, instead of using podcast index colon image type equals large, we would use podcast index colon image large. This makes the corresponding aggregator code easier and more linear. I understand why that is. I got that.
And other people may not agree with this, but my personal preference is always to just have the element with a value in it and avoid attributes if at all possible. And the reason is just because it gets messy. Your code just has to dig in farther.
Lots of question marks.
Yeah. And the attributes can be hard to handle. Like in the Node XML parser that we're using now, it can be a mess to try to dig those attributes out. So I would prefer to avoid them. I think it makes for easier code.
Okay.
All right.
Goal number three, use RSS native elements. The RSS version 2.0 specification already has a robust set of defined elements. We should aim to use those instead of creating new ones. Instead of creating a podcast index colon owner element, we can use the already existing managing editor element that contains both name and email address. I don't want to reinvent the wheel. In situations like item level images where the RSS spec never defined that element, it is appropriate to define new ones.
Yeah. And there's a lot of the RSS namespace, the RSS spec. There's a lot of that is not used at all or properly.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is, you know, the managing editor is a good example of a tag that's not used often enough.
Probably underutilized.
Underutilized. That's a better term. Yeah, a better way to say it. There's quite a few of those that are underutilized, like you know, there's one that we use in Freedom Controller that shows the source of where you, where that item came from.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And yeah, we used it for some creative purposes. So there, rather than reinventing the wheel here, it makes sense to just use, try to use what's already there as much as possible.
I agree. I mean, I kind of vicariously went through RSS 1.0 to 2.0 mm-hmm. at a distance with Dave Weiner. That was quite an ordeal.
I bet.
That was not pretty to watch, actually.
Yeah, it's a lot of fighting.
Yeah. Okay, goal number four, keep existing conventions. Oh, here we go. Reinventing the wheel helps nobody. When at all possible, existing conventions should be maintained. For example, it would make sense to turn podcast index colon explicit into a unary element. What's unary?
Like a single operator.
Oh, not binary, but unary.
Yeah, that may not be the appropriate use of that word.
Okay. I mean, I read it almost as urinary, so, you know, it's great.
I got to go to the bathroom.
Okay, adjective, consisting of or involving that. A single component or element. Oh, beautiful, beautiful word. I'm going to use this in regular language.
Okay, does it sound appropriate? You think that's right? I mean, basically, what it would mean is, like, the element is there for a... Well, it goes on to say, if you want to keep reading.
Oh, okay. So it turns it into unary element where its existence is taken as a yes and its absence as a no. Yeah, totally makes sense. You don't have it in there. It's just off. You put it in there, you can switch it on.
Yeah.
But that has never been the standard. Uh-oh. And, ooh, well, we need sound effects for this. Hold on. Since we're messing around anyway. Okay, let me reread that. So, for example, it would make sense to turn podcast index colon explicit into a unary element where its existence is taken as a yes and its absence as a no. But that has never been the standard.
That was a long way to go.
I triggered it too early, too.
That's awesome.
And given as how this namespace will probably sit alongside at least one other namespace, it makes sense to keep existing conventions in place. No, I agree.
Yeah. So we just don't want to. We don't want to have to
recode everything.
The way people expect stuff to work already. Yeah, mm-hmm. Basically that.
We want people to just upgrade for more fun and valuable cash and prizes.
Yeah, that's it. There, just keep going. There's a cash and prizes element.
Oh, nice. No. Goal number five: be general. There's no way to address every possible metadata point that each platform would want. That is not the aim. Instead, we focus on defining the elements that would be useful to the broadcast set of apps, publishers, platforms, and aggregators. Individual parties can keep their respective supplemental namespaces small and targeted as an adjunct to this larger namespace. Okay.
Yes. So the example of the Fireside.
That's kind of, you say that's small. They don't necessarily have to put it in.
Yeah, we don't have to try to reinvent what, or we don't have to try to incorporate what Fireside's doing in this broader namespace, because there's always going to be like this one Fireside colon host name. Mm-hmm. That element is something that probably nobody else wants or needs but them.
Right.
So it doesn't make any sense to try to stick that in here. And when they can just, their namespace is small and they can just include their own right beside it. I mean, you can have 25 namespaces in an XML document if you want.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. What I'm trying to say is that we don't have to take every existing namespace that's out there and take all the tags and shove them all into this one.
I wouldn't mind doing a podcast called Namespace of the Week and we just read through a namespace.
Oh my God, that would be horrible. That would be the worst podcast.
Bear that in mind as we continue reading this one.
Never another donation.
So then you have the element list.
Yeah, and I can go through this if you want me to.
Yeah.
It might be quicker that way. So... one thing that James Cridlin has mentioned a couple of times is the ability to specify different size images in the RSS. And so that's what these first three are: image large, image medium, image small. And there's some pixel width definitions in there about what's suggested. And it's basically just to give hints mm-hmm. to the player or app or whatever of how to, what you want to grab first. Should be pretty self-explanatory. Now, the categories, I'll say this up front. I don't expect that everybody is going, I would be naive to think that everybody would ditch the existing categories that are out there in podcasts and start using podcast index categories. Uh-huh. It's really not what this is for. It's basically, we are going to be consuming these namespaces also. And we're already set up to handle what's out there already. But as far as,
right. We can display everything that's already in a namespace pretty much. Right.
We can. Yeah. And so this is basically just our category names. I like them. I think our category list works well. And so this is just a way for, I put it in there. It doesn't have to be used, whatever. Now we start to get into some, which I think I feel pretty strongly about, location.
Mm-hmm.
Spotify has a country of origin tag in their namespace. And that, when I read through their namespace, that seems to be the only serious contribution that they've made as far as that mm-hmm. their namespace goes. Everything else, I mean, there's just not really much there, but the location tag could be a country code and a locality. So something like US Alabama mm-hmm. or, Brazil Rio, like you could have, and it's separated by a pipe character since that'll never really be an existing character in a language. So that's my idea for that. Again, I think the tag is important, but how it's the final implementation of it is very much open to the community to decide.
Right. You know, it have those really funny, what is it called? I should know this. I'm a general license. A Maidenhead grid square locator.
What is that?
A Maidenhead grid square locator. So I'm going to enter my zip code. And I'll enter my... I don't know why they didn't want my call sign. I don't think I need it, but... I see. Okay, it's a zip code. It'll just work on that. So my Maidenhead grid locator is EM10DF. And it's an area... of, I'm not quite sure how big the area is, but it's big enough to obfuscate where I live, except the dot is right in the middle. That's not disclosing my address, but you know, you look at the middle of the square, I'm like, yeah, that's where I am. So you could also offset it. But what I like about it is that this is a well known, there's tons of APIs on the internet. It's ham radio that invented this. And I'm sure I'm sure it's from something. What is a Maidenhead grid square locator? You never heard of this?
No, I have no idea what this is.
Yeah, it's been used, ever since. Wonder if there's a wiki page about it. Here we go. The Maidenhead locator system is a geographic coordinate system used by amateur radio operators. What's its history? I guess it was amateur radio. Came from the German QRA locator system, and then they had a working group meeting in Maidenhead, England. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. A Maidenhead locator compresses latitude and longitude into a short string of characters, which is similar in concept to the World Geographic Reference System. Except it's really easy to do, but it uses uppercase, lowercase. I don't know if that's a problem.
Shouldn't be. No. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway.
I know that. It's a good idea.
Well, you know what the bottom line is? When the apocalypse comes,
you're going to save the world. This namespace is going to save the world.
Hold on. Where was that? Where's that drop? I had that somewhere. Was it Save the World? Let me see. Save the World.
I just sent you clips, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Now, here we have ham radio, guys. Ham radio is the public service network of last resort. When the apocalypse comes, we're the guys who are going to save the world, right?
Right. So at least we'll know where the nodes are and where people are and where the podcasts are.
When you go into a conference and the keynote starts and that's what the guy sounds like, do you just... Do you just kind of like put your head down in your hands? And
no, like, no, I'm all jacked. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, we're going to save the world, man. Hell yeah. We're all
kill
over
them
that.
All. Do it.
Ham radio guys are really frustrated firemen and EMTs, basically.
I had a ham radio license. I got it in high school. There was a, well, no, it was a high school. It was eighth grade. We had a class at my junior high called Consumer Electronics. And the, was that it? Consumer? No, I'm sorry. Consumer Science, I think is what it was called. It was some crazy name that didn't have anything to do with what we actually did. This is the first, like the first half of the year was aerospace, which was fun. And the second half of the year was get your ham radio license. And so we, like the whole second half of the year for like, I think it was like fifth period during the day, we would just get in there and just be CQing and learning, you know, learning Morse code and the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the year, we all, our teacher was the proxy and he gave us the test.
Oh,
it was fun.
Cool.
It was great.
Very cool.
I had my ham radio license at like, I don't know what, I was like 15 or 14 or something like that.
Back in the day, you had to code back then, probably. You had to be able to do code.
Yeah, I wasn't real fast. I just did.
No,
I was
I'm 12 words novice. A minute guy.
Like, yeah, see, that's about what
here
I was.
I am. Hey, I haven't seen your clips yet, but maybe it's going through the pipes.
Okay. It's just a zip file. But okay. So the next tag is the one that I think, or the next group is one I think are really important. So it's the locked tag, yes or no. And I'll just read the description. This is a channel level element. This tells other podcast platforms whether they are allowed to import this feed. A value of yes means that any attempt to import this feed into a new platform should be rejected. It is expected that podcast hosting providers will enable a toggle in their GUI to allow their users to turn feed transfer lock on or off. And so I think this is a way to directly combat feed import fraud. The same way that Pod News exposed this past week with Anchor. Everybody knew it was going on, but he just laid it out. Here's exactly how you do it and exactly how easy it is. So if we have a locked element in the feed,
mm-hmm. then it should not be allowed to import. And what do you think? We have to make sure Anchor adopts to that.
Well, that's why I think that this is so important, is because if, as long as there's nothing out there to actually, no formal spec to stop it,
mm-hmm.
there's no way to really shame them other than just doing what Pod News right. did and just publishing, you know, articles about it. But if there's a formal spec that says I've chosen not to allow you to import this and you do it anyway, you are sending a clear message to everybody. You're just basically flipping the middle finger to the whole. To the whole industry, and the shame gets, you know, 10x. That's my feel. I mean, if everybody says, yeah, we agree to adopt this standard and you don't, you're a douche.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, really, because it's not like it's a like debatable thing. If I put in my feed, transfer lock, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm clearly telling you not to clone my feed.
Right.
If you do it anyway, you're just giving me the middle finger.
Should we consider naming this? I mean, is this document called Podcast Index Namespace?
Yeah.
Now, should we consider just calling it Podcast Namespace?
That's fine. Yeah. That'd be fine with me.
Let's do that.
Just change it to podcast.
Yeah, okay. So we seem more independent that way.
Yeah,
I mean, we are. We actually are. And the whole thing is independent. That's the point.
That I think that's a lot better.
Because if it said Spotify namespace, I'd be like, nope.
Yeah, me too. No, I think that's great, because this really is the community's namespace. It's not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. And I totally agree on that. So, moreover, for that very reason, is it's one thing to say, well, the podcast index namespace says. It's another thing to say, dude, bro, the podcast namespace says this. So you got to start rejecting those feeds, Anchor.
Yeah, that's a good point, because okay. It's just from a naming standpoint. Okay. That's awesome.
I'm really good at shaming once I have the ammunition.
Yeah.
So no worries. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, we got locked. And so there's a couple of tags that kind of go with that. And this may seem redundant, but I feel like it's necessary. The next one is let's just call it podcast:email. And that is a channel level element, an email address that can be used to verify ownership of the feed during a move and import or import operations. This could be a public email or a virtual email address that the hosting provider that redirects to the owner's true email address. And so this goes along with the transfer lock or the import lock idea. Right. And you're giving an email address that says, if you want to communicate with me for tech about doing something with my feed,
yeah, here's how you just do like it. A domain registration.
Yeah, exactly. Like an ICANN.
Yeah.
Okay. Info.
Got it.
But, and you could say that's redundant because there's iTunes owner email, there's managed.
Yeah,
editor.
But that could be important for a number of reasons. One, for it's just two different roles, I guess. I mean, just like on a DNS registration, you have administrative, financial, yeah. General. So yeah, those roles are understood, I think.
I think if there's a new element specifically targeted at this, then what's out there already is a mishmash of people's actual, some of them are actual email addresses, like in the owner email, and some of them are just kind of throw, you can tell they're just kind of junk. Mm-hmm. If there's something new going in, like this namespace, we could say, okay, this is for this reason, and this is your chance to plant your flag and put an actual contact address in this that will achieve this goal.
Right.
So I think it's worth having that redundancy in there. And it could even be changed. It doesn't even have to be email. It could be changed to be something like podcast:contact. And that could be either an email address or a URL mm-hmm. at the hosting provider. Who knows? We can debate this, which is fine by me. The next one is previous URL, and I feel like this is a really good idea too. The previous URL tag contains, there can be as many of these as needed. And every time that a podcast moves from one URL to the next, it should add a previous URL tag, an additional previous URL tag to the channel. That it operates like an email header. Like
wait,
an email relay
does
header.
That allow for archives? Or am I just thinking,
well? No, it allows you to associate a previous feed's URL with its new one, okay. So that you can deduplicate.
Got it. Ah, okay, understood.
Yeah, somebody moves from Blueberry to Libsyn, and they don't actually do it. They don't do a 301 and they don't tell anybody.
Right. They can just do it this way.
Yeah. You end up with two feeds and it takes you a long time to figure out that that the old one is dead now.
Right.
This lets you say, look, if this podcast were to hop from host to host, maybe five times, adding all these previous URLs would let you always deduplicate and remove those old URLs from your feed.
Great. Yeah, that's great.
The new feed URL, again, it may seem redundant because Google's namespace has a new feed URL tag and also iTunes has a new feed URL tag, but they don't match. Oh. They don't use the same format. Ugh. And so since we're already sort of in this mindset, it makes sense to me to put a new feed URL formally into something called the podcast namespace.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and then here's another one that I think some people have wanted, and I think it's a good idea, is the podcast:ID. Now, if you just leave, if you don't put a platform in it, a platform attribute, if you just put in podcast:ID, and then the value is a number, it's assumed to be the podcast index ID.
Right.
If you put in platform equals, then you can, there's some listed down in the further in the document. You could put in the slug of whatever your provider is.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you can put, not just your provider. So let's say that, you're listed on Blueberry's directory, us, Google Play, and, iTunes. You could put all your IDs on those respective platforms. Oh,
good, good. I like that.
One for each. And that's another way that we can, that the aggregators can be signaled to can be given good information to deduplicate.
Now, will you rename all these elements as well to podcast colon location, or does that conflict with other namespaces?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, cool.
It does. I don't think, as far as I know, I don't think there is a podcast namespace out there. One just called COD Podcast.
Okay, cool.
So those are the elements that I felt were good to start with. And, I really feel like the transfer locking and that, and the tracking ones are good. Would give good new ammo to the podcasting world. As well as to aggregators and app developers. Now there's some that I know that people have wanted, and I didn't know enough detail about it, so I just kind of sketched them out real quick, and that's in the element list proposal section.
Right, right. We have captions, transcripts, and alternate enclosure.
Yeah.
It's also nice. That's so you can do alternative, like IPFS or some other BitTorrent.
Or different bit rates.
Oh, yeah. Like, nice. Yeah. Nice, nice, nice.
And I think that's one that James wanted. The captions and transcripts are one that Todd over at Blueberry wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a few other people piping up to do like things like chapters. There's plenty of ideas out there. And so what I would say is let's start this discussion. Let's start hammering on this thing and try to get something. Let's just try to get something good put together.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that,
how do I help you drive this? How do I help how do I help you drive it, get people to participate? Firearms or can I?
Firearms. Yeah. Poison. Poisoning.
Threat of poisoning.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know when it's going to happen. So, I mean, you better get on board. I think just talking about it. And if we can get, the podcast news guys and the podcast platforms on board. Luckily, we already have connections with quite a few of those guys.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, we can just get this out there, because I think the feeling that I get is that everybody has wanted this to happen for a long time, but there's never been a single entity that's tried to pull it all together. Everybody to the same table.
Yeah, that seems to be a lot of consensus about that, which I love that, because that's exactly what we have. We've got an actual community, people who care. Yeah. And when people care and other people show up who care, stuff gets done. And I definitely see stuff getting done.
Podcastindex.social has become as much about general podcast technology needs as it has about the API itself.
Absolutely. And I think that's good. And there's such a good mix of people. I mean, a really good mix of people of all kinds of ideas. I'm just blown away by it every single time. And just all these, I mean, and everyone has, I can also see a lot of frustrations for a long living frustrations that people are like, oh, fuck, someone wants to listen. someone wants, just listen to me. I like it. I really do. It was quite nice listening to Todd and Rob
on the
new media show. Where I don't think I've ever had that done, where I did an interview and then the same host went back and analyzed the interview.
It was kind of necessary. I'm glad they did it.
Yeah, I'm super happy they did it, because it also taught me something that I guess I come across as a raving lunatic sometimes to some people when I I'm always in my head. I'm visualizing everything and it just comes blah, 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 like diarrhea of the mouth. It just flows out. You're like, what is he talking about?
Did you get the clips? Did you get those clips?
Oh, hold on a second. Let me see.
Cause I've got some good diarrhea of the mouth in there.
Oh, nice. Hold on a second. No, I don't have them.
Well,
did they weird. Bounce okay. back? You know, I have a limit on my mail server. I wouldn't think so.
It's pretty small. Anyway,
this is weird. I wonder why.
I'll try to send it to you again. We just got a big donation, by the way. $500.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if this person wants it read, though. So I'm
maybe we can use a first name only.
Yeah, and then I'll email them and see if it's okay to mention them on the next show.
Dude, now, are you emailing from your regular account? You know, I have pretty strict rules, DMARC and all that stuff.
I'm emailing from my Podcast Index account. I should probably do that from
the... Just do it from the Gmail. We know that works. Yeah,
okay.
Because there's something with the DMARC records on the emails, because I'm getting all kinds of... I haven't really looked at it. I'm getting, like, errors.
Well, you got killed on that flood.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a serious email attack, not a bomb, an attack. And it was, how long was it, like a couple months ago?
Yeah, it's been four or five months ago.
And I've just got tens of thousands of emails a minute, but all subscribing me to stuff. And oh my God, it was a nightmare. Thank God for Mark Void Zero, who rescued me.
He put the clamps down on that thing too.
Yeah, well, he's an email expert. That's actually what he loves, and he's so proud of his email. He's always been trying to get me on his servers. I'm like, I got to migrate all that shit. I don't want to. And now it was do or die. And he said, "All right, man." And boo. And he's got it locked. I mean, people are trying to send me email from their Apple Mac account or what iCloud account. And somewhere, some SMTP server had showed up on a UBL, and yep. And I'm like, well, Apple should know this, but all right, I'll put an exception in for them.
So do I have the hot pipe? Does it come straight through to you if I get from my Gmail?
Oh yeah, yeah, you do. Okay, sweet. You do.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I just recently.
I got him. Okay. Yeah, that went right through. We got to figure that out. There's some misconfiguration with what are we using? Mailgun.
We're using Fastmail.
Oh, okay.
For podcastindex.org.
Okay, let me just.
So that's pretty much the namespace, and I wanted to just give everybody enough to get them started, and there's a couple of other things in there. There's the categories.json file. Like I said, that's just a list of our categories. I'm not concerned about the category stuff. Just don't even worry about that. The example.xml is just an example feed that shows our namespace, or excuse me, the podcast namespace, since we're going to rename it. It shows the podcast namespace living side by side with the iTunes namespace. And it just gives a good visual example of how this stuff would look in practice.
Excellent.
Fake feed. And I will say this. So it's assumed I needed some kind of like fakeish real world stuff to stick in there, so I put in the podcast colon email address, I put like a what would be kind of like a virtual Blueberry address, so it's assumed that this podcast is being hosted on Blueberry. I just picked them
got it
anyway, so that's nice. The namespace.
I like it. Well, and you just dropped out of the blue, but I think it was time. We were talking last night, like, I'm gonna do this namespace. See, I think by changing it to podcast namespace and changing all the element names, I think that'll just make it even more clear what we're trying to do here.
That's a great idea. I think that's exactly what we need to do.
Well, these are the things that I went through with the RSS 1.0 to 2.0. Okay. And you got to, there's no context in text often, especially not computer code.
Yeah.
You know, so every colon, every word is important. I've learned a lot of coders take language very literal.
Yeah.
And you have to. You have to.
There's a strong Asperger's element to a lot of programmers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and you know, I was just thinking about this last night. I had a company with 700 employees. We had a lot of coders. And the overlap between musicians and people who write code is very strong. And you and I were talking about something last night, and we were you know, you've been doing this for 22 years. And we were talking about some kid whose first project took off. And I was like, coders truly are like musicians. You know, you can be working, you know, the gig circuit for a long time. You can get, you know, a good corporate gig, you know, playing in the theater, whatever it is. It's all kind of the same thing.
Programming is such, you said this before a dozen times, that programming is as much art as it is science.
Which is why, you know, when I do it, it looks like I'm finger painting.
Hey, me too, half the time. And that's the thing. It's like nobody's going to use your software because the code is so beautiful. You know, I mean, that's just not, they're like, oh my God, look how pretty that code is. I'm going to use this product. Mm-hmm. No, you use the product because it meets your needs.
Right.
And it does it in a way that's satisfying to you. But the code itself is an aspect of it reflects the programmer. It reflects who he or she is. And you can see a certain style in a certain person, and it just is fairly consistent. Mm. It's like a signature, you know. But
Right.
Did you get those clips?
Yeah, play, I did. I certainly did.
Which one was it? Okay, so this is funny. I think Ralphie dropped his new version of Cast Coverage.
Yes, it looks beautiful. Castcoverage.com. The thing is fantastic. I switched it to Dutch language. I was just going through, hitting through Dutch podcasts. I'm like, you know, I speak Dutch fluently. I have no idea what's out there. And all of a sudden I'm getting it random. Very nice experience.
I'm not bilingual. So when you're listening to let's just say you're listening to somebody, something in English, and then it flips like immediately to Dutch. Does it take a second to adjust, or is it just automatic?
Almost automatic. Now, of course, it depends how recently I've been using it. Mm-hmm. But I read a lot of Dutch just for news flow and people who send me stuff. And I remember when I was a kid, we moved there, and it took me a long. I was translating, you know, I translate from Dutch to English in my head, and now it's just that those. Yeah, you know, it's just talking straight to the API. It's going right in there, right to the brainstem. Yeah, it's very cool that way. And I also, you know, I will take on. That's hard to say, but like the whole feeling of, because you know Dutch is different. The Dutch have a different culture. You know, it's like I immediately want to wear my wooden shoes. You know, it's like that kind of idea. I feel it. I really do. It's very interesting.
Oh, that is interesting. So it's as much of a, it hits you with a feel as much as it does with the understanding.
Absolutely. And if I hear someone speak it on television or in a movie, and it's actual Dutch, cause a lot of it is really just an actor who kind of learned it phonetically. Yeah. It's a vibe. It's I immediately am transported. As I said, API straight to the brainstem.
Hit play Cast Coverage. I'm Not Ashamed.
And I'm going to tell the whole world, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Nice.
Woo! Glory to God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Wait a minute. Is that Reverend Manning?
I don't know who that is. It's just so...
They're saying that all hell is going to break loose and you're going to need a Bitcoin.
It sounds a lot like it, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Now, that's great. I love that one.
Ralphie dropped the link to the new Cast Coverage in the Mastodon, and I clicked on it. And hit go, and that is it started right there at that exact moment.
Let's just hear that one more time for the experience.
And I'm going to tell the whole world, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Woo!
Woo!
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Wow, I love that. Woo! Nice. That's an experience.
Talk about a product launch. I was like, holy crap.
And I tweeted out a link, you know, that had been updated. And someone said, hey, drop me right in the middle of the podcast. I think I like it. Say, that's by design, man. And it's true because if you're just sampling podcasts, you're starting with ads or you're starting with, you know, someone's opening music. You're waiting half an hour. I think that that's a user who put something together that the user wanted, and it makes sense for everybody. I think it's great.
I got an email this morning about this new podcast from quote unquote podcast, which is really not one, from Audible. And it was like, it's like some kind of self-help podcast. And so the first, like literally like the first 45 seconds to a minute of it is just, you know, well, it's some, you know, some a bed of background of like, you know, non-offensive background music. And then it's like, you know, hey, this is our new podcast. During this podcast, we're going to explore these ideas and this and this and this. And here's the blah, 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 blah. I mean, it was like 45 seconds of just, yeah, I already know all this. That's why I clicked on it. Like that is the quickest way to get somebody uninterested in your show is to tell them all about your show.
Yeah. Before
a minute before you actually do it.
Right.
So anyway,
right.
Oh, this just skips all that. Cast Cover just like, yeah, screw that. We're just going straight to the middle. But, yeah, anyway, so that's kind of where we're at on the namespace side. I think we'll see what happens.
I like it. I like it a lot. Now, let's see. Let me pull up my own notes here. Why don't we thank people who donated, and then we'll move on to the next. There's a couple more things that we should touch on today.
Yeah, sure. Let's see here.
And while you're looking that up, I'll just say that the entire project, podcastindex.org, is built around the value for value concept. You get out of it what you put into it. And we are always looking for time, talent, treasure. So obviously we're putting a lot of that in ourselves, but so many people have understood this and are supporting it. It's really fantastic. And it sets us up as a culture in the community for what's coming. You know, true value transfer to everybody involved. And so just to be able to do this, to get it started, not to have it come out of our own pockets, although, of course, we were always perfectly willing to do that if necessary, is very, very heartwarming. And every single person who supports it, not just with finances, but with your time and your talent and what we're all building here, is so incredibly appreciated. I have not been this excited since I first used Gopher.
Can that be an ISO? I've not been this excited since I first used Gopher.
It is truly that exciting. I mean, there were a number of very exciting moments, but the feeling really is coming back, and this kind of unknown, and you're working with people who you know from a handle or an icon or. And it's all kind of the same goal. It's a very good energy. Very, very appreciative of what we're going. I love this. I really do. And we love the people who help us. And all you have to do to support us is click on the donate button on podcastindex.org. It's also on the developer site. And whatever you get out of it, you know, just whatever it's worth to you, however you want to support it. We do, of course, have our special feature where you can be named with a recurring donation. A server will be named after you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I posted the list.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Benjamin really donated $500 just like 30 minutes ago.
Oh, my.
I'm just going to say Benjamin. The message just says, Dave and Adam, you're doing great work. Keep on keeping on. That's the whole message.
Thank you so much, Benjamin.
I mean, like Benjamin gets like the whole rack. Like, I don't know what to
do. Well,
you
make whatever decisions you have to. When you said that, I'm like, this is such a great idea, and I'm glad you're going to manage it. You're gonna need a spreadsheet, brother.
Yeah, I'm gonna manage this by not managing it all right.
Okay,
now.
Very
I'm
good.
Gonna just, ig- I'm
just
going to
ignore it for
let
now.
Benjamin bake. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And see, got a subscription, a $50 a month subscription.
Wow, nice.
From Podverse.
LLC. Oh, wow, cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
That's two servers. It's two servers a month.
Exactly. It's Mitch and the guys over there at Podverse.
Nice.
And says,
now, do they have a website up yet for Podverse?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is their URL?
It's podverse.fm, I think.
Oh, that's right. FM.
Let me see here. Podverse.
I also saw that we got baked into Podcast Addict as a choice.
Oh, yeah. I saw that pop up. It kind of came out of the blue.
I haven't heard from them. I think someone did a pull request. I don't know who. I presume someone from the index.
Is Podcast Addict, is that an open source project?
I think so. They have their own index. I know that. And in the past couple of weeks, I've seen them say, "Oh, you know, we have our own index," but that someone created the code or did whatever. And
nice.
Is Podverse running on entirely on the index, or is it running off of a multiple?
No, it's running on the index.
Really? Yeah. I haven't promoted this.
Well, I'll read the note.
Explains it. All right.
So Podverse, you're going to get the master API server facing
nice.
The world.
Nice. Nice.
The front end. You're going to get one of the front end servers. I wanted to say, hey guys, I want to let you know that the monthly donation is from Podverse and my team. Creon, I think that's how you name it. Creon, Gary, and Kyle. Dave, thanks for the absurdly fast turnaround on the recently updated podcast endpoint overnight. By integrating this endpoint with our own feed parsing system, we can now expand our database from 100,000 to 1 million podcasts at no extra cost to us.
Wow.
While simultaneously reducing our server's CPU usage from 80% to 20% and allowing our system to detect podcast updates faster.
It's a floor wax and a dessert topping, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Nice.
As a small open source project, savings like these are a game changer for our ability to scale, and we couldn't do it without y'all.
Aww.
It's amazing how much value you and the Podcast Index community have created in just over a month. Thanks again for the incredible work you're doing, Mitch.
Wow, Mitch, that's so nice.
Yeah, he gave a graph of their server stats. He says, we switched the new endpoint 2 days ago, and their server usage went from 80% to
nice.
Off a cliff.
Oh, my God, that's so cool. It's a nice little project they got here. It's a nice little player.
It's got the clips. You can make clips with it.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Oh, we've got a nice little contextual menu. Holy crap, man. This is nice.
If you go to the clips thing, there's some pretty good clips on there. It's pretty neat. I spent some time on there yesterday.
Huh. And you can just make your own clips.
It looks like it. There's some controls down there at the bottom, like a scissors.
Right. I got scissors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, look at this. Holy crap.
Cut it up, man.
This is good. No, I gotta share this right away to the world.
One thing I don't know, Mitch and the guys, is when you make a clip, can you share that back out as its own,
feed? I think so.
Okay.
What I'm tweeting is Podverse lets you make clips and share them. So they better have it in there. Cause I'm just promoting them that way. It's now pressure. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Cameron Rose. Let's see. He did a $25 a month subscription. Cameron.
Nice.
You are going to get the images, the new images server that is not even 100% yet.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. So Cameron sent $25 a month. Says, hi, Dave and Adam. Thanks for taking this project on. Free speech is always needed, is always in need of defenders. And I think that podcasts are a critical vector for that. I agree that providing a structure for others to build from is the right direction rather than trying to dictate an end product. Totally agree. Adam, as much as you seem to disdain Scott Adams, he's some sort of cartoonist. I think he's very right, and that one should always aim for, systems, not goals. And this would be a good display of just that. I'm excited to see what comes out of it all.
Hey, I love Scott Adams. I have no. We were just joking around on the show about him.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I'm sure this is tongue in cheek too.
Yeah, if the subscription is enough for a server naming, it is. Please assign it to my company to be OMP Tech.
All right.
Sure. Absolutely. We'll do that. I'd also like to support and reiterate Adam's suggestion in the last cast about the critical importance of owning and using public domain names. I know a lot of people look down on the expanded list of TLDs available, but I've come around to them and it greatly expands the opportunities for the average Joe to find something they like. I agree with that too.
What exactly are you saying here?
The TLD, like the new TLDs, like IO, like .io. And
The top level domains? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, sure. I didn't like those two? Did I make a mistake?
No, I think he's just making a comment I think he's just making that comment himself.
Oh, I totally like it. They're expensive, though. Yeah. Some of them really, you know, because of just how it works.
Doesn't it take like $100,000 out of the gate to start one of those?
A TLD? I looked into it and I didn't pursue it when I should have. You know, mm-hmm. That was around the time the GoDaddy guy figured it out. And it just wasn't it wasn't a business I was interested in. But at the time, you could do it. You had to have some guarantee. I don't know if it's $100,000 or not, but it was not a big hurdle.
Like WordPress, the guy from WordPress, they started the .blog domain.
Matt.
And I think I want to say it was like $100,000. I don't know.
Yeah, that's maybe possible. That's possible. But that's right for him. You know, man, I would hate to have to run that business.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What you're dealing with all day?
No.
Takedown requests, DMCA, you know, FBI.
That's
NSLs.
NSLs.
National security letters. You bet.
Oh, yeah. And you can't even talk about them.
No, you can't even
bitch about it.
Nope.
See, is No Agenda Stream... is No Agenda Stream really so much better than noagenda.stream? I guess he's talking about TLDs. Is if there's any way you can utilize domain names to confirm feed authenticity, I would recommend it. No need to reinvent the wheel. Red check marks, here we come. That's funny. Yes, that'll be that. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Let's see.
I like this paper crumpling sound effect you're doing. That's working for me.
And
it's a nice transition between donations.
I'm a complete Luddite. I print everything.
Oh, that's cool.
I will literally print out an email and then walk over to the printer and grab it and read it off the paper. And
oh, wow. Like
one paragraph.
Oh, that's extreme.
Sometimes. I mean, not all the time. it's looking at the screen all day just drives my eyes crazy.
Yeah.
It just gives me a break. Cold Acid from the Rare Encounter podcast gave us a new subscription for $10 a month.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cold Acid. And you're going to get Aggregator 5.
All right.
Thank you, Cold Acid. Appreciate it. And Mitch coming in again. Mitch is out of control. He's just throwing piles of cash at us.
Wait, Mitch from Podverse?
I think so. Mitch Downey gave us $10.
All right. Nice.
Mitch is out of control, man.
He's making it rain. It's podcast rain, baby.
Making it rain. Let's see. Okay, and I hope I'm saying this name right. Clint Pro, P-R-O-I-E. What do you think?
Pro.
Yeah, $5.
Nice.
Thank you, Clint.
Thank you.
And a $5 a month subscription also from Jeremy New. Thank you, Jeremy.
Yeah, these are great. Long-term subscriptions are extremely appreciated. That really builds up a base over time. Thank you.
Yeah, it takes the pressure off. You know, you start having to spin up servers and, you know, you start looking at the bill and you start thinking, well, I really need to do this, but oh my God, that's going to be an extra $40 a month. And
I love how you think, Dave Jones.
Oh, really?
Well, you know me. Yeah. I'm like... I don't know. Yeah, fuck this. Dave, is this right? And you're like, no. Yeah. No, we need to bring that down.
Do it different.
Also, before you continue, I just wanted to say that I'm so happy that so many people get to see and work with you. We've been doing stuff for 10 years. And I've seen people go, holy crap, you know, I breathe something and Dave's got it implemented or has an idea. This is Dave Jones. So I just want to make that very clear. You know, the Dragon Slayer for sure. Because I will talk to you the way I spoke on the International Podcast Day with an idea. And you'll go, oh, okay. And you'll usually turn it around and, you know, ask me two questions. And then it's like, oh, test this. It's a joy to see you working with all these other people as well. And I hope they appreciate how this is all flowing through you.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been a lot of fun.
And Tina wants to make sure you're having fun because Dave must be having fun. He better be. If he's not, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, true. No, it's great. Yeah, it's been a blast.
Because it's all consuming. I mean, I'm also sitting on the couch, you know, like chatting with you or checking the Mastodon server or anything. You know, it's like,
it gets in your brain.
It does.
Well, that's it for donations. I think we're good.
Well, it's very good. This will definitely keep us powered for a bit longer. Incredibly appreciated. Again, value for value. Can't say it enough. Your time, your talent, your treasure. Some people seem to be contributing all three. Whatever you put into it usually flows out. And that is what totally. We've learned over the course of many years of applying the value for value model. So let's talk about the image server for a moment, because that, you know, we kind of went through a lot of what it already does in the namespace. But longer term, it appears to me that this can be a good resource for a lot of things. A lot of people seem to need these images, and I'm really happy you set that up, and you set that one up pretty quick too.
Yeah, this week was dedicated to me throwing Andy from the Mastodon under the bus, because he has been waiting for me to refactor the recent episode's endpoint for like 2 weeks, and I keep saying, yeah, I'll get that for you. And then I go off and create an image server,
right?
Or I go off and do a namespace.
It's right. Like, okay.
I've got to get, I felt some pressure to get back to, getting some stuff, some of these endpoints re-engineered. So I'm really going to try to buckle down and start focusing on that for a while.
Okay.
And, cause I mean, we don't want to neglect the core of what we're doing here.
No, the endpoints, obviously. Do I need to cock block anybody so they don't disturb you?
Yeah. No, I can close my browser.
Oh, okay, good.
play, let's see, what, you know, we lost Conan O'Brien.
And he went off with, who did he sign with?
I think it's Amazon.
Audible, probably. Yeah, I think I did see a blurb about that.
Yeah, play. I think this is a good ISA. Play clip 3, Conan ISA.
Oh, clip 3.
There's too much comedy, and I think that's why I started this podcast, is to try and stop it.
That's funny.
We got to pay homage to the guys that disappear. But so the image server is probably going to be...
Hold on, we're not doing it right.
Changed.
We're not doing it right.
What?
Hold on. I'll show you how we do it.
Everybody there had a podcast. There's too much comedy. And I think that's why I started this podcast, is to try and stop it.
Nice.
Tell you taps as they go on their way out.
I forgot what alt-right party is. What's clip 2?
Oh, alt-right party. Here we go.
It was a very alt-right party.
That's a throwaway.
He was probably joking around about the SCOTUS party in the Rose Garden.
I think that was from his interview with Sarah Silverman, so I'm sure. Yeah, explains that. So the image server, I'm probably going to end up re-engineering that, because the idea is sound, but I think the way that it needs to be filled in right now, it's basically just running. There's running three image converters in parallel.
Each one for a different size.
They're just taking different sections of the index and grabbing them and sticking them in five different sizes. And it's working, but the problem is going to be, and I can see it already, is it's just a big weight. Well, yeah. Mike was talking about dupes. There's that. And there's also just you're going to end up doing wasting a lot of space for podcasts that never get touched. And so I think a better way to do this is going to be to respond, to have it monitoring and respond when calls are made that return podcasts, and then do it on the fly. So basically just
So the first request is the toughest.
Yeah. Well, the first request, here's my idea. So, Martin came up with this idea to use an initially very small size image and blur it. And that seems to,
that was interesting the way that worked.
Yeah. I like it
as an effect. I mean, you're masquerading, a problem with connectivity and software, but it worked. Mm-hmm. I mean, the illusion is beautiful. I was like, oh, that is actually kind of almost like it was a feature.
Yeah, and this file size of that thing is tiny. It's 987 bytes.
Right.
And so my thought is what we could do is we could resize on the fly to the 20 by 20 when somebody initially asks for it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me back that up. We can go ahead and pull down the 20 by 20s and serve that immediately. And then when somebody asks for the full, and then when they ask for it, we go ahead and pull the other images and convert them in the background so that there's like a 1 second delay.
Right.
Before we deliver the other resolution.
Huh. And so okay, I get it. That's a good way to do
it. We may find out that there's out of 1.5 million feeds, there's only, 400,000 that ever get requested for images on a regular basis.
Although I do hope in the future that people consider changing their art per episode. I think it's really worth it.
Yeah.
It makes everything so much colorful. It makes the world prettier, the apps better. I don't know. It's attractive. It's exciting.
I'm always excited when I do a search and then one comes back and all the episodes are different.
Yeah.
So it makes you happy.
It does. And you look at it like, oh, wow, that might be a good episode.
Yeah.
Just by the art alone. I know. It's hard. We're lucky at No Agenda. We have people who, we get like 20 submissions a show before the show's even over.
Yeah. For most people, that would be really difficult.
Right. Yeah. No kidding. But we also deliver the show 30 minutes after the stream. We're done.
That's still incredible.
It's like, fast. Yeah.
So that's the image thing. And so basically what I'm saying is all the stuff that has happened until this point, I may just throw all that stuff away. Shortly.
But the way you access it won't change, right? No one has to change code necessarily.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Good.
And if we do it this other way, what I think is I'll put in an extra property in the endpoint that returns the URL of that small 20 by 20 image.
Mm-hmm.
And when the endpoint, and when that happens, it will trigger the full resolution download and conversion on the image, on the object server.
Nice.
So that would be a good way to be more efficient with this whole thing. Yeah. So cool. I think that's the new, because this thing's going to take 300 gigs of disks.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty hefty.
Lot. Yeah. And we may only need half that if we do it this other way. And then we could check for duplicates and only serve the one version of that if we needed to. Out on the back end, we can do we can just do a soft link or something on the Linux file system.
Okay. Cool.
We've got other stuff to talk about, but we're going kind of long. You want to wrap it up, or you guys anything else you want to
talk about? Well, besides that, you're intending to work on endpoints. We'll get the namespace, the name change. We'll get that up. I guess I'll do work on promoting that and see if we can get some people to come in and work on it. And what else do you need? Is there anything I can get for you?
A beer.
What happened to Hookers and Blow, man? Rent Boys, Chardonnay. No, none of that. Jeez.
Way too much baggage with that. Yeah. I just want beer.
So I will just say, and here's your tease, that Dave and I have been working pretty hard on the second mission, which is retooling podcasting to a platform of value. It's just way too early to talk about it. But we found interesting people that have some ideas, and we're We're looking at some initial tests, but I am quite excited.
Yeah, me too. It's gonna be that. That's when things are gonna get real fun.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. So all will be revealed.
cast coverage. Paul, shoot you.
Can't wait for this one. Another random shot from castcoverage.com.
And coming in here and putting us all in jail. I mean, mask or no mask, we going with Paul. Okay? Or he might not put you in, he just shoots you. Well, he probably wouldn't shoot you back then. Mask or no mask, we going.
I like that. Mask or no mask, we going. Beautiful. Beautiful.
But we didn't even talk about web sub, all that stuff's working now. We'll have to talk about that next week. That was like multiple days of stuff to get that working.
Well, do you want to just briefly talk about it? I mean, it's an important piece.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it next week.
Okay.
Let's talk about it next week. Well, basically it's working, and I've got some good stats too that we can talk about next week.
Oh,
we can
excellent.
Dig in a little bit.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Well, Dave, it's as always, man, it's a real joy working with you on this project. It's really, really fun.
It is fun.
And it is fun. I'm all giddy with it. That's what's going on here. All right, everybody, that'll do it for Podcasting 2.0 for today. We'll be back next week with another episode. And, well, I'm sure we'll have lots of stuff to talk about. Dave, see you then, man. Woo!